Good morning. Hey, I wanted to, before I get into what I'm going to share today, we have a network church. We're part of a network of churches that's based out of Fayetteville. Fayetteville was on the cusp of what happened. We kind of really saw the mercy of the Lord by the lack of rain that we saw here, but they got it and Lumberton got it. And so Fayetteville, since the hurricane, has been feeding people water. We actually, Costco donated 4 pallet loads of water. I don't know if y'all saw my Instagram, but like 9,000 pounds of water, bottled water, we took down on Thursday night. And so a lot of people have been like, well, what can we do? And a lot of it's going to come in the next couple of weeks. To be honest, in some of the stuff, until the water is gone, you know, there isn't recovery. So, you know, keep your ears open for things that we're going to hopefully be able to jump into. But for now, if you just feel burdened, but it's kind of hard to maybe get something there, we're going to be giving money to Manna Church. They've given out 241,000 bottles of water. Since this happened, I think they've given away like 36,000 hot meals and then clothing and blankets and deodorant and other products that people lost everything. And they're sending teams directly into Lumberton because they're right there. So if you just feel burdened, you feel like, man, I want to do something, we'll be giving money to them. So if you want to give anything to that specifically, if you'll just designate that on your check, that will specifically be going to Manna Church, who is, and it'll be designated for them specifically for those for the flood relief. So if you just kind of feel like you want to participate, that's a small way. And like I said, in the weeks to come is when the water leaves is when, you know, we have an opportunity. Like, keep your ears open. I mean, like, literally Costco happened by fluke. And yes, your money paid for the U-Haul that we rented and drove down there, and it was not anchored in. And so, like, literally a mile before I got to the church, I went through these 3 little roundabouts, and all the water shifted to the right-hand side. I had to rent a 26-foot U-Haul so that it would hold the 9,000 pounds of water was on there. And so when I pulled in, literally the truck was like leaning to the right. And so you just never know what, you know, who you're going to run into at work that has family and friends that are going to need help. So, like, look, it does not have to be organized by the church for you to jump in. So if you see something that you can participate in, I just encourage you, be the hands and feet of Christ as we love on the city around us. And there's stuff even here where trees have fallen on people's properties, on people's houses, and there was flooding here. So, like, just keep your ears open. Like, there's always opportunity for us to jump in and get involved. And if we can find a way to do that as corporately, we'll be doing that. So just wanted to let you guys know about if you wanted to give. We're doing a standalone message today. We ended a series before the great hurricane. I actually flew out the morning of. I drove last Saturday to Durham so I could catch a flight Sunday morning to go with my son on a little adventure. And I tell you what, I think they literally shut down 40 about an hour after I went through it. I did a lot of praying on that trip. There was a couple of times where, you know, literally we lost sight of everything for about 10 seconds. We hit a puddle with a truck right in front of us, and it was just like, hello. So that has nothing to do with what I'm going to share today, but just felt like sharing that. I'm going to have Anna is going to come around and give you this great, and if you saw the picture on my Instagram, sorry, like, you're like, man, that thing is huge. It's not. It's this big. But you're going to get something that I want you to hold on this week, and it's going to be part of my illustration. There is different colors in there, so if you get a color that you just are offended by, like if you're a guy and you get a pink or purple, Anna would be glad to give you a different color. I mean, if you like pink or purple, go for it. What you're getting today, and if you read, if you have really good eyes, and I know that the light isn't great in here, it actually says tooth saver. For those that have little kids that you need a place to put teeth that fall out in the future, here you go. I got 144 of them. We have way more than we're going to need. So if you just like want a collection of them on your way out, just come see me. We'll hook you up. But this morning, I was kind of this week going, you know, what are we going to do? I wasn't supposed to preach last week because I was going to be gone, and Daniel, one of our other pastors here, was going to he was going to be preaching last week, and then so I was just thinking, you know, what is God saying to me? And so I've been reading a couple of different books, but one of them is this book called Shaped by the Gospel, which is a book written by this guy named Timothy Keller. Timothy Keller is a pastor of a church in Manhattan. And there was just this idea that stuck with me, and I just felt compelled that you know, God was doing something in this range that I believe that He wants to do in and through us. And so the reason why you're getting this is not because I hope your teeth fall out. We could give you candy with it, like, you know, like. The reason why I'm giving you this is multi. I'm going to use it as an illustration, but I want this to be a reminder this week, because what I'm going to talk about today, there's lots of words that could be interchanged with treasure. Treasure is the title of what I'm talking about today, but there's lots of things that could be put in place of that, because you're going to hear me use words like idol and idolatry are the same thing, of this idea of treasure. And so what I feel compelled to is that, just like this little box, and it is not made to hold a lot of teeth, I want to just tell you. So if you're hoping to, like, collect teeth in here, not going to happen. But, you know, if you lose a molar, it might go in there. How many people are struggling getting it to clasp? Okay, it does work. You got to push that little round thing in the middle through the other two, and then it holds shut. There you go. This is made for one thing, to hold teeth. You can put other things in there. Our souls, our bodies were made to treasure one thing. And our dilemma in our culture is that we don't live in a culture that so identifies that we're being idolatrous, that we have chosen to worship, to treasure something else, but it's been hidden. And so my whole premise and goal today is to unearth what you treasure. Because you treasure something. You're living for something. Literally every day you wake up for something. You may not know what it is. Part of the danger of our American culture is that there's so many little things that we treasure that we don't really know what we really treasure. We don't really know what gets us up in the morning. I mean, we think we do. Like, well, we've got bills and we've got, you know, mouths to feed and we've got things that are going on that have to happen. But realistically, we don't think through the reality of what we treasure. The Exodus 20, verse 3, which is the first commandment. And really, I found this written by someone else, that there, you don't break one of the other commandments without breaking the number one, too, and which is, you shall have no other gods before me. See, and I think in our culture, you know, especially most of us in this room, and I don't want to make that assumption, but most of us in this room would probably align ourselves to Jesus, and we would say, you know, we love Jesus because you're in a cafeteria right now that has been transformed miraculously into a sanctuary. You know, and there's lights, and it does, you know, you lose the illusion when you go in the bathrooms. But in here, it feels like, you know, we're at church. And then you go in the bathroom, and you're like, yeah, we're definitely in a middle school. We painted them when we first moved in. We've tried to do things that make it better, but there's only so much you can do. So anyway, and so this idea is that God has put in us that we would worship and treasure one thing, and He's even told us that one thing is Him. But we ourselves have learned from the world and everything else to treasure other gods, whether it be work or success or our image or stuff or pleasure or money. Martin Luther says it this way. He says, anything that we look at to more than we look to Christ for our sense of acceptance, joy, significance, hope, security, is by definition our God. You see, the danger is what is ruining our lives. If your life isn't what you want it to be, I can guarantee what is ruining your life right now is that you've treasured the wrong thing. What's ruining, potentially, your relationships is that you've treasured the wrong thing. And because you've treasured the wrong thing, you're destroying the relationship. Some of us, in a good way, our spouses can be what we live for. Or the idea of a spouse is what we live for. And just one day, like when I find that perfect person, or one day when my wife or husband decides to be that perfect person, like, I'm going to be happy. You know, the reality is that when we get what we feel that we want and deserve, it never satisfies us. I mean, if you can take this back all the way to childhood, Christmas, you know, that one Christmas where you asked for this one thing and you got it, and you really believed. Like for me, I think I was 9 or 10, and I'm going to date myself a little bit. Some of you younger people may not even know what this is, but they had a Sega Genesis with Hedgehog. Like, and I felt like if I could get a Sega Genesis, like my life would, I mean, it would be whole and complete. Like it would, like I would arrive. Like I would need nothing else. Like I don't need food or shelter or anything as long as I got my Sega Genesis with Sonic the Hedgehog done. But the reality is once we get what we've set our heart to have, it doesn't satisfy us. And it never, I mean, if you're old enough, if that is not your reality, you're not old enough to figure that out yet. Because if you've lived here long enough, you realize that whatever you desired, once you've gotten it, it never satisfied, because our heart is designed to treasure, to worship, to idolize something. And when we allow ourselves to treasure or worship or idolize something that is not God, then it destroys us. See, here, a sure sign of the presence of idolatry or treasuring something else is inordinate anxiety, anger, discouragement when our idols are thwarted. So when that thing, if you want to discover what your idols are, just have someone, not you, because you could always give it back to yourself, have someone begin to remove things from your life. Some of us, it could be our phone. Like literally, you blow a gasket when you can't find your phone, or your phone is dead, or something's going on with your phone, or the new software isn't working, or you lost all your contacts, and your life is over, and you know, or you lose that job, or you get medical bills that come in, and it depletes your bank account, and that bank account was what you treasured because it was your security. Stuff. If it gets removed and you get angry, like even look at the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, when was the last time that you literally just got angry, and then back that out of why you got angry? Most of it's because your treasure was messed with. I mean, your treasure could be like control. And when things are out of control, you are angry. I mean, come on, dads, let's say, you know, dudes, we have control problems. Like when things aren't going our way, we blow a gasket. Like, or it could be rest. Like your God, your pleasure could be like, I work hard, and when I get home, it's rest. Some of the worst encounters I've had with my children where I've had to repent is when I feel like I have put a hard day's work in, and it's my time just to relax, like to turn on the TV, to enjoy life, and they interrupt my time. Noah's like, preach it. Maybe he'll learn and stop that TV is not more important than me, which it's not. But just look at your life. Like, look at things that you've just responded to poorly. Maybe, you know, that this whole traffic pattern. You know, we don't idolize, but we do idolize that the traffic would be fixed and we would never have to sit in traffic and people would never almost run into us ever again. Like that would be done. But a lot of our issue of why we get so angry and yell at people in our cars, we do it. Like don't act like, and maybe you're so sanctified that you only yell in your head. It's still happening. Like I tell you what, that the Isabel Holmes Bridge, you know, where you get in that line and I'm the faithful person that just gets in the right-hand side and is like, I'm going to wait. And all you people that just roll by me and then want to get in later, when I've waited patiently and obeyed the rules, whew, like I'm telling you, like there's people, I forget I've got a sticker on the back of my car, and I'm like, just come on. I mean, I get angry, especially the closer I get to turning on 74, the more I'm like, no, I have waited in the whole way up car by car as you flew by. To be honest with it, a lot of the issue with that is us. We've pushed our time schedule so that we're running late, our fault, so that when we get held up in traffic, we get angry at something that we could have controlled. Keller, in his book, he says this. It says, so if the root of every sin is idolatry, treasuring something else other than God, and idolatry is the failure to look to Jesus for our salvation and justification, then the root of every sin is a failure to believe the gospel message that Jesus and Jesus alone is our justification, our righteousness, and our redemption. See, our religious service can be what we treasure. Like our good works. Like there are potentially people that will put a check in our box that gave money towards hurricane relief that is counting that as your security for God's affection and love for you. I mean, just to be honest, I mean, I've been in the church culture long enough that we can idolize even our service. Like I've been here, and so because I've done these things, now I've earned partly what, you know, yes, Jesus had to die on the cross, but like he needed me to come in here and set up early for a couple hours so I could, almost like my daughter's at school and they have to get community service hours, almost like we get community service hours with God. Like you feel like I got to get 1,000 hours before I die of community service in the church kingdom so that God will love me. We can idolize our service. Like, to be completely honest, this church for me can become an idol. It can. Like this, which is hopefully God ordained, hopefully God planned, hopefully God has brought this to this place, but this thing can become what makes me feel like God loves me because I've stepped out of my comfort zone, I've moved to a new city, and I've done these things, so God loves me, when the reality is that God loves me, period. And so what I want to talk about today is, you know, kind of the war within us and how that trickles into what is our true treasure. And so in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? The treasure is at war. Like we have to fight for this one thing. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. See, most of what is going on inside of us, honestly, if our treasure was what it should be, we would be like Paul and says, I've learned to be content in all things, where I've got nothing or a lot, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full, regardless, whether I'm in chains or I'm free, I've learned to be content. Like, honestly, there would be no faulty, there would be no angry exchanges, there would be no damage in any of our relationships if our treasure was centered and solely planted in Jesus. Because even when our spouses aren't responding correctly, we don't have to defend peace in our house. We don't have to defend, like, well, she has just wronged me. Like, I'm getting ready to biblically show her how she was wrong. Like, I'm about to put her in her place. I mean, there would literally be none of that. There would be like, I love this woman, and Christ has called me by his example to die. I mean, that's what he's called husbands to do. I know women don't like the submit part, but husbands have been called to die. So ours, I believe, if lived out, is a whole lot more dangerous. Luke 16:13, I don't think this one's on here, but this is specifically talking about money. But look at this. It says, no servant can serve two masters. For either you will hate one and love the other, or will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Like, you can't have two things in your treasure box. One will win out and the other will be displaced. I know you feel like, well, you know, God's there and he's not going to be. He will allow himself to be displaced. And when he is displaced, and when we start treasuring things other than him, he'll lead us into a place that those things fall apart. So we realize that they're not worthy to be our treasure, so that we could be recentered on Jesus alone. See, your heart always follows your treasure. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21, it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth or rust or hurricane winds or hurricane waters destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." See, our heart will follow our treasure. And if our treasure is something else, then our heart will follow it. If our treasure is money, if our treasure is security, which comes from money, then we will pursue money at all cost. Meaning, if we have to lie, we lie. If we have to, offend people, if we're going to do whatever it takes, because if our treasure is security and our security comes from money, then we will do whatever it takes to make sure that money is always there. The danger is there's no point in our life, if that's our treasure, that we're ever satisfied. Because there's never enough money. Regardless of what you make, like if you've ever taken like a Crown Financial or a Financial Piece, like there's always this ideal. Like, if I could just make $5,000 more a year, life will be good. Well, the person that's making $10,000 more than that is going, if I could just make $5,000 more a year, life will be good. But there's never a place that security is ever going to be what you want it to be if it's placed on something that can be taken away. Literally, hundreds of families have lost, 22 or 20 people in North Carolina have lost their life because of this. And I think 19 of those were water related. Which is crazy, because like this hurricane was a class 1 when it hit us. Which they're talking about how they actually talk about what a hurricane is. And I think a lot of people didn't leave their homes because they're thinking, oh, it's just a 1, it's not going to be bad, it's hitting the coast and no big deal. But there's people that literally have lost every single thing, even the lives of loved ones. There's no guarantee that what we have built as our treasure will stay there. I mean, if our treasure is our spouse, you may lose your spouse. I mean, there may be cancer, there may be, a car wreck, there may be a million different things that take your treasure away from you. See, God's treasure for us is this specifically. And Jesus actually talks about this in Matthew 13, 44, and there are two illustrations about the kingdom. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." See, before that point, his treasure was everything else. It was everything else he had home. Before he walked into that field, he would have never thought of giving up everything that he has for one thing, until he walks into this field and he sees a treasure that is worth giving everything away. See, God wants us to experience him like that. See, a lot of the reason why we don't put him in that place of treasuring him and loving him, and I know this goes against the grain because, a lot of us in this room are followers, believers of Jesus, but we love him. That doesn't mean that you're not treasuring something else above him. See, we're not like of days old where we'd have, idols in our house that we worship. Our idols can be so hidden that we have no clue what's going on. And one of the reasons why I gave you this cheap, plastic box is because I want God to expose your idol, your treasure. Now, if it's Jesus, Praise the Lord. But if it's not Jesus, it will destroy you. Like, I'm telling you, like, God has constantly, over the last 4 years, continually to pry my fingers off of this thing that's called church. Because I want it to be, like, look what I've done for you, God. I mean, my dad's a great man, and I love my father, but, like making him happy was a big deal to me. Like, obeying and doing what he wanted so that I could get his good pleasure was a big deal to me, and it's easy for me to walk every day thinking God just like that. So if I do good, and if people come here, and people meet you, then you're going to love me more. When that's not the reality. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, "But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of a man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." Like, what He offers us is so much greater than any treasure that we could ever have here. Like, I'm telling you, like, I think in our minds we have a scenario that if this happened, life would be easier. It's not. I mean, like, the wealthiest of wealthiest have a higher suicide rate than us. Like, people that have money, because we think, oh, it would solve all our problems. The only thing that's going to solve all of our problems is getting our treasure in the right place. 2 Corinthians 4:4-12. It says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers." And this is what we battle every day. This is what our life is as followers of Jesus, to get our treasure in the right position so that we can go out and unblind the eyes of people that have treasured something that is destroying them. See, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Like, this gift has been given to us. Our access to the Father has been given to people that don't have the availability to please God. I mean, we're jars of clay. Like, there isn't a, there. I know some people, sometimes we feel like, you know, if we were just good enough, God would love us. And if we can convince people to be good, then God would love them. God chose us in our darkest period when we had nothing to offer Him. And He shows us through the grace. And so this last little section, I've got two more verses and we're going to close. Says the grace of God trains us. So, like, how do we change our place of where we treasure to living in the place that we keep God in that position and place? Titus 2:11-14. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us," the grace of God, "training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly possessions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, who are zealous for good works." Literally, He redeems us from all lawlessness and to purify us. Because we weren't purified before. Like, our acceptance from the Father comes solely from what Jesus has done. And this is how we treasure. Ephesians 3:16-19, it says, "That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We're in a weird place. Because honestly, we can be sitting here in our seats desiring to follow and love Jesus and be so entangled in our own idolatry that we have no clue that it's even going on. We have no clue that what we're actually striving for, unless it's compared to the grace of God, unless it's set beside Jesus Christ Himself, we'll never know what our treasure is. And so what I would love for us to do today is have some honest moments. We're going to have worship here in just a minute, and we always close with a song, jokingly, because we want to keep you here longer. It's not why we do it. But sincerely, we do one song at the end because I believe that God, not me, wants to declare to you what your treasure is. Because until you know what that is, you have no way to remove it. You have no way to place the correct treasure in the correct place. I mean, and it's ongoing. Like, this is something that we as children of God and people entering into the presence of God will have to do every day of our life. And this is why it's so important for us to get in contact with God the Father through His Word, through prayer, through worship, through getting together in corporate events like this and getting together in community groups, because we have to be brought to a place of understanding who Jesus is constantly, because our flesh wants to go right back to what we treasured before, because honestly, it's easier to trust those things that you can work with your own hands. It's easier to trust what you're capable of doing, whether it's your ability to work, whether it's the gifts that God's given you, whether it's your personality, whatever it is, that, you know, whether it's the love of someone else, that we put that in its correct place. Because those things will constantly drag us away from the treasure that God wants to be for us. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. Everybody got your little box? Is it closed? It didn't have to be closed, but I just want to see who couldn't get theirs closed. Okay, all you guys are awesome. Popped open. Good job. Look, and it may be silly to have this little cheap thing, but I recommend, and here's homework for you this week, and it's really simple. Put this somewhere that you'll see it, like in your car. Somewhere that you'll have contact with it, maybe in your bathroom, in your kitchen, somewhere that you'll see it, because I want it to remind you that the only way that you'll ever be satisfied is getting the correct treasure in the correct place. And so you can just allow the days to tick by. And this is what normally happens. It's kind of aloof, and we don't really know, like, well, what is he talking about? Like, I don't worship money. You know, like, we don't get our checkbook out in the morning. Like, kids, okay, gather around. We're going to worship our bank account. You know, and we don't go out, you know, to our car in the morning and be like, oh, car, like, I'm going to take a knee to you. And like, oh, house, beautiful house. Like, oh, you know, or, you know, now, if you want some brownie points, do this, but I don't recommend it in the long run. You know, if you want to bow down to your wife and be like, how beautiful she is, that's great. But, like, don't make her the idol of your life. You want to honor her. You want to love her. But, like, we do that. We all day long. And I always feel bad. Like, if I make eye contact with somebody, that they think I'm going to talk about them, but I'm not. So, like, it even could be your appearance. Like, what you look like. And how you look determines how you feel. Instead of your identity and your who you are is rooted solely in what Christ thinks about you and what he's done for you, not in how you look, because that goes away. It does. I'm telling you. Like, all the people over 40 are like nodding their heads. Like, you know, although there is a guy at my gym who's 75 years old, and my gosh, I mean, like, they got 120-pound dumbbells for him. And I'm just like, I feel like less of a man every time I see Dennis. I'm like, oh, anyway. What's your treasure? Like, what are you fighting for? What are you destroying relationships for? And you may not look at it like I'm destroying relationships, but what is in you that's causing this fight against those around you who love you? Because understanding that your God may be control, or your God may be security, or your God may be fill in the blank, identifying that and removing it is the only way that you're ever going to enter into real joy, real satisfaction, real pleasure, is putting Jesus in the correct place. And so as we close, I just want to give you an opportunity. You may be in this room, be like, well, I don't treasure really anything. I treasure myself, and it's not worked out very well. But what does this mean? Here is the short of it. Is Jesus knew, God knew from the beginning, from Genesis 3:15, there was a plan. From the fall of man, God had a plan to remedy our issue, which is our sin. Like, if you don't think you're sin, I mean, I don't think I have to let anybody know in this room that we're sinners, okay? If you've lived more than a day and you're not delusional, we understand that we've fallen short of being perfect. And what Jesus desires for us is perfection. And when that was not going to happen, he sent his son to this earth to live the life that you could not, would not, will never live. And he willfully chose that, went to the cross to pay the penalty, because there is a penalty. Hebrews actually says, do not be deceived. There will be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And someone is going to pay for your imperfection. It's either going to be you or it's going to be Jesus. And Jesus showed his love for us when he came and did what you could not and took all the wrath of God to pay the penalty for your sin. And in our how we become followers of Jesus is we let him be our treasure. Because what satisfies us and what makes us whole and what makes us complete is Jesus alone. And he will fight against everything in your life that you want to treasure above him. Even good things. See, not all things that we treasure are like these evil things that we need to throw in the backyard and burn. Some of the things we treasure are good. Like our families are good. They need to be treasured, but in the correct order. And so what's yours? As we sing our last song, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to root out what's dominating your life so that you can realign and put Jesus in his correct place. And if you don't know Jesus and you're interested in that, start a conversation. He's here in this room. The word says where two or three are gathered in my name, he's here. The presence of the living God is in this cafeteria right now. And so have a conversation. It could be the beginning of a conversation. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is by your grace and your mercy alone that we have the ability to see you and to know you and experience you. And Lord, right now, the truth is there's a lot of people sitting in this room that we've held on to you, but we've allowed other things to take the position that is rightfully yours. And Lord, if you don't expose those, we'll continue to live our day, our life day after day, treasuring the wrong thing. But Lord, right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you can expose the lie that we've believed. And you can have your rightful place. And so, Lord, I pray that this would just be a week that we would be seeking you. Lord, that we would be treasuring you. And so, Lord, as we worship, as we spend these last few minutes allowing you to minister to us, Lord, I just pray that you would change us. Lord, that you would give us new eyes and new ears and a new heart to see you, to hear you, and to experience your affection for us, your children. So, Lord, we just thank you that you are so merciful, that you are so long-suffering, waiting for us to get it right. And Lord, the only thing that we want to get right today is that you are our treasure. Lord, we worship you, and we pray for you to do in us what we cannot do. We pray all these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.